be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So very blunt there, just says, like, don't wait. And we discover in the Bible when people hear the gospel and believe, if it was daytime, they were baptized that day. If it was nighttime, they were baptized that night before the morning came. If they were on a journey, they stopped and got baptized before they continued. So it's kind of very direct. Like, you hear it, you believe it, boom. As the accountant that Philip met along the way said, look, there's some water. Let's stop now and do this. He says, yeah, sure, let's do it now. So that's the thrust of the scripture is, when you hear the word of God and believe it, you get baptized straight away, rather than praying a prayer even or something else. That's the, I'm in. Let's have a look at just what baptism is. It says that same verse, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash. Say wash. Wash. There you go. It's only three words this morning. The first one's wash. Wash your sins away, calling on his name. It's not rocket science. Baptism, it's with water. What's water for? It's for washing. There you go. It's a great big wash. You wash away your sins, calling on his name. Sins is all that stuff you've done, that you feel bad about, and that you haven't done, that you feel bad or ought to feel bad about. It's easier to feel bad about things you've done than things you haven't done. But they're all bad. All that stuff's washed away. Now, there's a couple of reasons why we wash ourselves. You do wash yourself, don't you? Okay. There's a couple of reasons why we wash. One big reason is for other people. Other people don't want hanging around with a smelly, dirty you. Sorry. Just saying. So we wash ourselves in order to hang out with other people. So that we can engage them. And we wash so that we can be God's friends. We want to wash our sins away. Sin doesn't fit in God's presence. So we wash to engage with him and with others, the other saints and angels and whatnot. But we also wash for ourselves. You know, if you don't have a wash and you feel you're smelly and dirty, even if no one else notices, you kind of shrink away from people. You know, you keep your armpits well covered up and you're just conscious. And it's called shame. And it's a terrible limiting condition. And so we come to God and we wash and we're set free from that evil conscience, that sense of I'm not okay. Because even if you are okay and you think you're not okay, it really restricts your ability to live and to relate and to face into the future and to be and do all that you ought to be and do. So we're washed from an evil conscience. We're washed from the consciousness of sin. Now, pigs like to have a wash from time to time. Now, there's no pigs here this morning. I'm just saying. The thing about a pig, when a pig has a wash, the pig says, well, the pig doesn't say, but if the pig could talk, the pig would say, that was great. Now back to the muck where I belong. This is like better. Like water's good, muck is better. We're not pigs. Okay. When we wash in baptism, it's for a life of that's clean. We wash not so that we can do these things again that we're washed from. Not to say we're perfect and we may still fall. We understand that. God understands that. But we don't wash in order that we can keep on being and keep on doing the sins that cause us to need the wash in the first place. Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, you know, you need to get a great big wash like a bath. After that, you need to wash your feet from time to time. You know, stuff happens and you need to be cleansed from that. So we wash, and it's a bit like being under the shower all day long. You'd sing a lot of songs, wouldn't you? You know, you're washed, but there's washing for the future as well as for the past. Lord, make me clean, keep me clean. That's the first thing about baptism. Very simple. It's a great big load of water. It's a wash. Okay, what else is baptism? The next verse we're going to is this one. I'm reading from Galatians 3:27. Because when you're baptized, it's not just like splash on water with a cloth or something. You go into the water. Say into. Do you like this? Yeah? Wash into. You might just remember it afterwards. Okay? Wash into. You're washed into something. You're baptized into something. Ha! It's not just you anymore. Galatians 3:27, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Just how, if you come out of the water, You've got, you'll be like dripping, you'll be drenched, you'll be covered. In the same way, if you are baptized into Christ and you go into Tesco, you know that verse that says, Emmanuel, God is with us? Well, you know what they'll all be saying in Tesco? God is with us. In fact, the machines should say it. Welcome. Please scan your first item. Ooh, I notice God is with us today because you carry him. When you're baptized into Christ, you are into him. You're now part of his body. Where you go, he's there. You might say, I can't carry that responsibility. Well, it's not really your responsibility, but it happens. Like it or not, when you are baptized into Christ, you carry him. Where you go, he is. I mean, David tried to shake him off. Well, he talked about trying to shake God off in his prayer. He said, if I went to the bottom of the sea, you'd still be there. If I went up to the highest heaven, you'd still be there. For two reasons. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But also, when he's in your life, wherever you go, he goes with you. You're like him. You're part of his body. And what's more, because you're baptized into Christ, if someone touches you, they touch him. If someone hurts you, they hurt him. I wouldn't like to be that person who would hurt a member of Christ. I thrashed my finger with a drill a few weeks ago. Two fingers, actually. Still a bit sore. I was drilling outside my front door, putting up some lamps. And there's a second handle that holds up the drill. And it kind of came loose and it went onto the chuck. And I started spinning around the drill. This hand was still there. So I started thrashing this hand. Ah! And sort of, I was wearing gloves. This one started bleeding out through the glove. And I took the gloves off. And this was burst and there was blood and stuff. And this one was gone all black. And I don't think I broke any bones. They're a bit too short for breaking. But you know what? I didn't like that. You might say, oh, but James, it wasn't you. It was just your finger. Look, you hurt my finger. You hurt me. Are you listening, drill? Okay. Jesus doesn't have that sense of detachment. If you're baptized into him, you're a member of his body. Anyone who hurts you hurts him. It's that simple. Oh, it's only my body. No, no, that's me. It's me. These members are me. You hurt them, you hurt me. So when you're baptized into Christ, you're a member of him. You're not the same as every other member. A finger is not a, you know, it's not a liver. It's not a toenail. Part of him. Baptized into him. You who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. People look, what do they see? Jesus. Is that what he's like? Yeah, that's what he's like. Not exhaustively, but truly. They don't see like everything about him, but they do see him genuinely. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. When you're baptized into Christ, you're not what you were before. I was talking to someone last night about a mutual friend that we have. I've known this friend for 40 years. They have known him for 15 years. And he annoys them. Okay? I'm not telling you now who I'm talking about. But this old friend of mine, this person finds that he's a bit of a git, a bit of an annoyance. Because he's comparing this person with other people. And sure enough, some other people might, you know, be less crazy to be around. But it's not appropriate to compare someone with someone else. It's appropriate to compare someone with who they would be otherwise. You see, I knew my friend before he came to faith. And I know what a git he could really be. That he was incapable of saying or thinking or doing anything that wasn't to build up his own self-conceit. Talk about a conceited person. And I know too that since faith has come to him, I've seen him. He's different. You might meet him and not know what he was and think, ah, he's not as nice as someone else I know. I'll tell you the contrast is between who he was, who he would be otherwise, and who he is. Not him versus someone else. You're running your own race. It's your race. And Jesus comes to make a difference in your race. Not to make you like someone else or to compare you to someone else, but to make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. So there's neither slavery. And it doesn't matter what you were. Man, woman, black, white, male, female, rich, poor, that's not what it's about. It's about you're in Jesus now. You're baptized into Jesus. It says you're all in Christ. You see, if we all got baptized on the same day, there's the sea. If we had someone to baptize, we could all kind of dunk down at the same time. Woohoo, where have we gone? We've all gone under the water. We've all gone into one body of water, one body of Christ. When you're baptized, no matter what your personality is, you're part of the body of Christ, not just relating to him as an isolated individual, but you're part of everybody who's part of him. That's why you cannot speak ill of a brother or sister. It's why you cannot set yourself against a brother or sister. It's like the members of your body fighting against each other. You know what that's called, don't you? That's called an immune disorder. We don't want it in the body of Christ, in the church. We don't want one member setting themselves against another member. Come on, that's a disorder. It can happen. Immune disorders happen. It can happen, but that's not health. That's not what we're brought into. So even if you're an introvert, even if you're someone who's not a big kind of life and soul at the party person, you're baptized into Christ, the multi-membered body of Christ. Wow. And you are, here's the question, does God have favorites? Sometimes people say, well, I'm God's favorite. I thought I turned you on, I didn't, did I? Here's the deal. God has a favorite. Do you know who it is? You think I'm going to say me now? You think I'm going to say you? I'm not. He's called the Beloved. Jesus is the one that God loves. He said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. This is my beloved son. And when we're baptized into Christ, we're in the Beloved. It's not just me, like versus you. Like, I'm his favorite. Too bad about you. Or it's me and you and too bad about them. It's Jesus is the favorite. And we're baptized into Jesus. So the way God feels about Jesus is the way God feels about us. The status that Jesus has is the status that we have. That's why it says when you pray, come boldly into the throne of grace. Like, come in and say, I've come for it. Can I have? And say what you want. Yeah. Oh, well, really? Yeah, because you come in Jesus' name. Not just you as some kind of person who lives in Ireland in 2017 and your own little life, but you're part of the body of Christ. Father, I know how much you love us, your son, me included. I've come for, you know, I need stuff. I mean, don't kids ask their parents for stuff? Can I have? Can I have? Can I have? And we're heirs. We're the sons. We get the stuff. Okay. So that was wash and into. And my third one is life. Do you want to say that word? Life. Wash into life. That's my whole story this morning. If you're telling someone else later, wash into life. And here's another baptism verse. And this one I'm reading from Romans 6 and verse 4. This is our apostle. The first one was about our apostle Paul. And the second two were written by our apostle Paul. Our, because he was sent to us, the people who weren't Jews, who at the time seemed like just a little fringe group at the side of the church. But little fringe things can grow into big things. And so it happened. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Because that's what it's like, isn't it? Going under the water, boo, buried. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When you're baptized, you don't just go under the water. You come back up again, out into a new life. Just as Jesus did. He died once and then he rose again. And when you're baptized into Christ, you come up into a new life. You're not the person that you were. New life. What kind of life would that be? Well, part of it we know and part of it we don't know. Here's the thing. It's going to be an eternal life. It's going to have the same quality that Jesus' life has. So it's going to be a life of love. It's going to be a life of authenticity. It's going to be a life of being tender in your relationships with other people. It's going to be a life of having an open heart to God. It's going to be a life of being honest with yourself. We know it's going to be those things. It's going to be a life that's real. You know, when Jesus went into a house and sat down, someone who was in trouble, they'd just feel, I can tell him stuff. And they'd come in and they'd start crying and stuff. What's this about? Why don't they cry to me? Because they just knew, he gets me. He's real. He's not going to attack. He's not going to say, oh, don't touch me. No. He's not going to say, oh, I'm too busy. You know, he's relational. He's open. He's gracious. So we know that when Christ brings new life into us, he'll bring in life like his life. Okay, so part of this new life, we know what's coming. But part of having a new life is that you don't know what's coming. Some of the detail, you're not going to know. Here's the thing. When you get a new life, where might it lead you? Don't know, really. It's new life. It's full of possibility and adventure and maybe some surprises. It's just hard to tell. You don't know it all. What God has prepared for those who love him, eye hasn't seen them yet, and ear hasn't heard them. God has prepared some things for you that you don't yet know. I think about Noah. Well, I guess your story isn't going to be the same as his story, but he was quite an old man, and stuff happened, and there was a flood and stuff. And then it says, and he began to be a farmer. He lived all his life probably as a town guy, you know, buying his vegetables in Centra or something, or whatever they had back then. But then suddenly, his life was changed. The world was all changed. I've got to change my whole way of life. And sometimes God leads you out and stuff, and you say, I never saw this coming. And you look back and you say, from an earliest age, that wasn't my ambition, but God's put me in this, a new life. God gives you something to do, and it just comes into your hands, or he puts it into your path before you. Say, Lord, this is amazing that you have prepared something for me that I didn't even know it was coming. And if I'd known it was coming, I wouldn't have signed up. You know, I wouldn't have thought I was able. I would have said, no, Lord. It's a good thing God didn't tell me what was coming, because I would have run away. And often we find ourselves in a situation where God gives us something new and we think, I didn't know I was that person. I didn't know I could do this. But God prepared this for me. Okay, so wash into life. Baptism is a wash of your sins away. It's to bring it into Christ and give you a new life. And that's what it symbolizes as you get washed in the water. Okay. Thank you, Google. But I wasn't actually asking. Okay. So, I'm going to go back to the first place about when should we get baptized. What happened to Paul that day? Where someone came to him and says, don't delay. What are you waiting for? Get baptized. Here's what happened. Saul was on his way, not expecting it to be a different day from the day before, doing his thing, and his thing was killing Christians and catching them and putting them in prison. It's amazing what God does with people. He says this, Acts 22, verse 6. He was on his way. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Notice there Jesus saying, persecute me, not just these other people. But he heard a voice. It starts with hearing what God says. If the word of God has come to you, and you've heard the word about Jesus, or from Jesus, where Jesus either has spoken to you, or you've heard a word about him that Jesus died to, and you've actually heard that. It's not just someone, you know, rattling on here. You realize that is the word of God. Jesus died for me. God is calling me. So Paul heard God's voice. So he heard God's voice, or heard God's word in some way. And that will be similar for you. And what's the second thing? Verse 8, he says, who are you, Lord? That he responds to that voice by saying, Lord. And if that's you, if you've heard the word of God speaking to you, about Jesus, speaking about God's call of your life to come to him, and you've responded and says, Lord, you're my Lord. You're a candidate for baptism. Because that's how we respond and say, yes, Lord, I will close this. I will begin this journey with you formally by being baptized. And so that's why we go down then to verse 16, when Ananias came to see him. He said, now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away. So when you hear God's voice and you say, yes, you respond and say, you're my Lord. You're ready for baptism. Now, I said in the Bible, they all got baptized like on the same day. I'm not planning to have a baptism today, but I'm hoping to have baptisms, say, this month. Maybe the last Sunday of this month in the evening, we'll have some baptisms. That gives an opportunity for people who want to be baptized to say, I'm coming, I'm making sure to come. It also gives you an opportunity, suppose you're under 18, so suppose you're still under parental authority, it gives you an opportunity to say to your parents, I'd like to be baptized. If you're very young, some parents take the view, I'd like you to wait longer. And I won't argue with parents because, you know, they're the parents. They're the first port of call in terms of God's line of authority in your life. So we'll give it a few weeks. But if you'd like to be baptized, hey, come and say it to me or say it to Alan or someone else. That we can plan baptisms for the people who want to be baptized. I was baptized as an infant, if you're thinking about that. I grew up in a denomination which baptizes infants. So like long before I knew what was happening, I'd already been baptized when I was a few days old or a few weeks, whatever it was. I came to faith myself. It was 18 before I heard the gospel and understood it. When I heard the gospel and understood it, I thought, oh, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized myself. And I was baptized in the Corrib River in Galway by Martin, who now works education in Japan or something. I see him on Facebook occasionally. Haven't seen him for yonks. So I got baptized there. Some folk take the view, well, if I was baptized as a child, when I just respond to that, that's good enough for me. I'm not going to argue with anyone who takes that view. In general, we would encourage people, when they come to faith, to be baptized. That would be our encouragement. It's probably the best case to make from scriptures. When you hear the word of the gospel and you believe, be baptized. It's your own decision and choice. It's you saying, Lord, I'm going to respond to you in this way. So, think it over. Heard the word of God. You want to respond and say, Lord, I'm thinking the end of this month. I haven't made the actual arrangement yet, but I'm planning to make a plan for a baptism evening. And we'll give an opportunity to people to be baptized and just set yourself formally on a course of walking with God. Doesn't mean that's the end of the journey. It's sometimes the beginning of the journey, okay? But it's an important part of the journey. And when Jesus talked about sending his apostles out to preach the gospel, he says, go out and preach the gospel, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. There was just an assumption that when someone would hear the word, baptism was the way to say yes. Baptism was your response to say, Lord, count me in. Does anyone want to ask me a question? I might not have the answer, but I'm happy to hear questions. Lord, we thank you for your clarity, the clarity of your word, and the simplicity of what you've called us to do, while you, Jesus, have achieved our salvation and made possible for us to be renewed, to be washed, to be baptized into you. You've made all this possible, Lord Jesus, and you call us to respond to you just so all this can happen in our lives. So we ask you, Lord, just for everyone who's hearing this morning and everyone who's hearing this on a sound file later, we just pray that you'll just put on the hearts of people to respond to you and say, I will get baptized. I will, just as we sang in the song, I will give my life to you, Jesus. Teach me, dear Lord, to live.